Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me now in the studios at the University of Sioux Falls is John Mollison. Thanks for being here. Historian, artist, and a new film coming out on Wednesday.
Yes.
Wow.
I know.
So it's called There and Back. It's part of your Old Guys and Their Airplanes series, right?
Correct.
Seventh in the series?
Mm-hmm.
Seventh in the series. So this one, let's describe There and Back for me.
Well, I got to follow around a Vietnam War ex-POW this summer mm-hmm. in Vietnam when he went to visit sites of his former prisons, met a former commandant of the Wallo prison, and also got to meet with some ex-North Vietnamese fighter pilots that he had tangled with in the skies of North Vietnam in 1967.
And his name is Charlie Plum.
Mm-hmm.
How did you meet Charlie?
Well, Charlie came about like a lot of my stories. One of my readers recommended a guy, and then I had been to Vietnam last year to produce another documentary, one of these kind of reunion stories. And this particular reader had suggested that if I ever go back to Vietnam again, I would need to bring Captain Charlie Plum. And for a lot of reasons, he agreed to go back with me. And from then on, the planning just involved him. So,
did you know what you were getting into when you went when you met Charlie Plum?
Well, I knew his story.
Okay.
You know, when the Vietnam War was going on, I was, you know, barely able to reach the television. So, you know, the Vietnam War to me is relatively new. I mean, it's everything I've read about, watched on TV. So I felt like I had a cursory understanding of what the Vietnam War was like. But when we got there, and of course, you know, it wasn't my first time in Vietnam, so I felt like I was prepared. But the story was deep and it was powerful. And I don't think I could have been prepared for that. So,
okay. Each of these stories that you tell, how do they touch you?
They touch me most because I've grown up a pretty safe American, and I don't think I've had a really bad day in the world perspective. And when I get to spend time around veterans, you know, I'm not a veteran, I'm just an artist and a writer. But when I get to spend time around these people, Charlie Plum or any of them that I've gotten to get to know, I see an aspect of the world that I feel is in some ways more accurate than me being an insulated American, especially an insulated South Dakotan. So they touch me in profound ways. It's kind of like sometimes you roll down the window and stick your head out of a car moving 100 miles an hour. It's like, whoa, what was that?
How difficult is it to get a Vietnam veteran to talk, to tell their story?
That's probably one of the, that's a great question. And I want to preface it this way. All my history stuff started out with World War II vets. And they were pretty easy to get them to talk. Mm-hmm. The Vietnam War was, of course, a very different war. It was a different America. It was a different type of war. Everything about it was different. And the Vietnam veteran has grown up in more of a 20th century technology world. And I think they're a little more jaded. They're used to being hurt and in some ways lied to. So getting them to talk is a different dance, so to speak. But however, what I found is that over the years, they're starting to realize that they have experienced something very powerful and very important to this country. And when they do talk and they do have something to share, it's important. You hear that phrase that those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Well, World War II was a lot like the Good War, Studs Terkel's book, you know, how we titled that. But the Vietnam War was more like war really is. And the Vietnam veterans' stories and what they have to contribute to society, they're starting to realize, wait, we're dying off too. We know this stuff. We've got to make sure other generations hear it and know it too. Mm-hmm. So it's That was a long answer to your question, but I felt like it had to be given some context.
So Charlie was about ready to fly his 75th mission and go home.
Yeah.
Isn't it so much what usually, you know, one more, survive it, and go home.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so how did he become a POW?
Well, first of all, I don't know if there's any statistics about last missions, but I think it makes a good copy. but that was Charlie's case, and he was flying a fighter cap and protecting some other bombers that were raiding. I don't remember. I think it was a truck park that they were bombing that day. And a surface-to-air missile got Charlie, and he and his backseater, they ejected and became... They ejected very close to Hanoi. It's about 18 miles southwest of Hanoi. And they were picked up really quick and taken right to the prison system, which actually turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because a lot of these guys who would eject and bail out and be captured far away would have to run a gauntlet, so to speak, of North Vietnamese angry villagers, whatever, and it was very hard. Many of them died in the process. So Charlie, he'll even say he was treated mercifully because he didn't have that far to go to be taken into the relative, and I mean relative, safety of the prison system.
The quote that stands out to me is where he said that he, you know, if it's just like this, if it doesn't get any worse, I can survive this. And then they tightened the rope. Mm-hmm. It's a nice tease.
Oh, it's a terrible tease. The first Vietnam POW that I met, this was a few years ago, he described to me what the torture was. And when he told me how they were tortured, the first thing he said is, "What I'm going to tell you, we all went through. Everybody went through this." And his name was George Allen Rose. They call him Gar. And he was a relative short timer. But how he described it was, he goes, "Sit up straight," which I did. And then he said, "Okay, touch your elbows behind your back." And, you know, of course, we can't. I mean, do that right now. You can't. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well, the V, as they call them for the Vietnamese," he goes, "they'll figure out a way to get your elbows to touch, and they'll do it with a rope." And when we were in Wallo Prison with Charlie this summer, he tried to reenact it. And he's there. I mean, this place is now a tourist trap. It's a museum. And there's Charlie with me, the cameraman, Rick Lingberg. And Charlie's reenacting how he's getting tortured, and he's getting little crowds around him. And yeah, that was one of the ways to get you to break. And they wanted you to break for a couple of reasons. They wanted you to break, number one, your will, so you wouldn't fight back. I mean, the type of prisoner you want is compliant, suppliant, and doesn't give you any trouble. But they were also trying to get intelligence and trying to get any information they can. That's just the politics of war.
And Charlie's airplane, talk a little bit about that, the F-4.
F-4 Phantom. You know, the F-4 Phantom is one of the really cool stories of American procurement. It was a jet. I mean, when you think about the Vietnam War, it's really the iconic American fighter-bomber jet. It's got a tail that kind of hangs down. It's got a wing that's kind of bent up, and some people call it ugly, and some people call it beautiful. But the Navy and the Marines and the Air Force flew them. And it was an airplane originally designed kind of to be an interceptor. When airplanes were, you know, the genesis, it was really thought that this would be the airplane that would protect the United States from Soviet bombers. But, you know, you design for the war that never happens. Mm-hmm. And so the F-4 Phantom had to become a fighter plane, and they hung missiles on it and bombs, and it became just the workhorse of the Vietnam War.
But you didn't draw it with... In the image that you drew, you didn't draw it with the extra bombs, or did you?
Well, I drew Charlie's mm-hmm. F-4. That's kind of the premise of all my shows, is I meet these guys and they say, "Hey, look, I'll draw your airplane if you tell me your story." And so I drew Charlie's F-4, and, you know, he was flying a CAP, which is a combat air patrol, CAP. And so his didn't have bombs on it. His had missiles on it, because his job would be to engage the North Vietnamese Air Force that would try to attack the bombers, which oftentimes were other F-4s, only instead of having missiles, they had bombs on them.
Have you already started your next project?
Well, actually, we're also we've just finished number 8, and that's a World War II POW story. That's a different story again, and that's very satisfying. That's a World War II pilot named Chris Morgan, and the title of that one is The Wind Beneath Your Wings. And then we're right now trying to get the resources together, time, energy, money, all that stuff for number 9. And number 9 is going to be on a South Dakotan that many people don't know, but he's an incredible hero. His name is John Waldron. And he flew a dive bomber or a torpedo bomber in the Battle of Midway.
Oh, wow.
It'll be the first one that I do where the pilot isn't alive. He was killed. But the interesting thing about John Waldron is not only was he a South Dakotan, but he's a Native American. And he was 41 when he was killed in combat. So how many 41-year-old Native Americans are killed in the ocean, you know? It's just a tremendous story about leadership and what it takes to do an impossible job.
So There and Back premieres on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
On Veterans Day.
Yeah.
And it's online or do you have a venue as well?
Well, it's going to be 3 places.
Okay.
Of course, it'll be online on our website, Old Guys in the Airplanes. But South Dakota Public Television is going to be airing it at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And there's something really cool you need to know about that, because at 10:30, when it's over, Captain Plum has agreed to do a live chat with anybody and everybody, so he can answer the questions. And that goes back to your first question about, you know, how do you get him to talk? Well, Captain Plum gets this. He gets that his story is valuable, not only just for history's sake, but also for other people to hear. And so he wanted to have the opportunity for anybody to ask him a question. So, you know, he'll be taking callers from all over, or chatters, whatever, from all over the country. But I believe on Public Broadcasting's website, they have the link to it. And it's certainly on my website, oldguysintheirplanes.com, that when the show's over, I mean, you watch it in South Dakota, click on the link and ask Charlie. I know you're staying up late, but it's totally worth it. Totally worth it.
Okay. So you can have direct access online with the chat.
Yeah. And then also we're going to be premiering, Sanford Health was one of our sponsors, and we're kind of doing a closed family showing, at 5:30 at their North campus.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, John, for taking time and coming on the program today.
You're very welcome.
And we have a link on our website as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of this happening on Wednesday. Thank you.
This is awesome. Thank you.